When is it time to eat breakfast?
Oh, that's quite a few years ago. It must be about 25 years ago. I'm still yet right now. I have to really take care of it when it's cold.
What happened that time?
Well, it was warm when I left in the morning, and I thought I was doing good. In the evening, when I was coming back, it turned pretty cold. Temperature dropped quite a bit in the cold breeze, and I didn't have no scarf on. I was warm. I was sweating because I was walking, and I didn't know I had a frostbite in my chin. And ever since that time, that's the first place I tried to freeze. I think I freeze a couple more times afterwards. And so right now, I really have to watch it.
How did you find out? When did you first find out you had frostbite in your chin?
Well, I didn't feel it then, but afterwards it started peeling. My skin started peeling off. It blistered up too. If I freeze it that bad.
Well, what kinds of things can, like the warm clothes, say when you were the same age as Norman? What are your other two sons' names for that?
One is Henry Jr., and the other one is Raymond.
Mm-hmm. When you were their age, what kinds of warm clothes did you have that were different than what they were, and what kinds of things were the same?
Yeah, right now this. The clothes they're using right now is different because it's a factory made insulated, and they're using right now. And when I was their age, I used pretty much of the handmade things that my grandmother used to have for me, and like parkas. I had a fur parka for a long time. That's all I use.
Is that the pullover kind?
Pardon?
Is that the pullover?
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that's better? Or?
Yeah, that's way better than the stuff they're using right now. Well, in order to have really good clothes, it's pretty expensive to have a really good down parka. The clothes they're using right now, it's warm, but it's not as good as the fur clothes I used to have.
Why do you think people don't wear the fur clothes anymore?
Well, I guess people just doesn't make them anymore. I guess people make them. I guess we still can use it, but it's so easy to just go order the snow machine shoot and things. So.
Yeah, I asked Marlon Solomon that.
Uh-huh.
She says, well, maybe it's because they don't make them anymore. She says, I wonder if I made one of those kind of people with them. She says, oh, no. Because she was talking about how the zipper is cold.
Yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
Were the fur clothes a lot heavier?
No, it's lighter.
It's lighter?
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, I got that down, expensive down parka I got from Eddie Bowers. It's quite a bit heavier than the fur parka I used to have.
Uh-huh. I always thought
that it was
lighter and down
was lighter. No, with all the lining and things added to it, it's quite a bit heavier. Yeah. Only the fur one, you really have to watch it, keep it dry. That's when it gets wet, if you don't dry it right away, it'll it'll start shedding.
Uh-huh,
yeah. So I'll really have to watch it. Right away is when it, if it ever gets wet, that way it'll last a long time, just like the smokelux do. It's like we come in the house, and if there's snow on it, just brush all the snow off it right away before the snow melts. When we hang it up, we can't hang it close to the stove where it, we can't hang it too close to heat. The heat will ruin it too.
Does anyone in your family do sewing now?
Yeah, mom does. Yes, see. She did a lot of sewing.
What kind of things?
Well, boots or mitts or Martin hats. Whatever the boys, or whatever I want, she can make. Mm-hmm. She make fur parka for me too, out of muskrat.
Do you have that now?
Uh-huh, yeah.
When do you use that?
Oh, I never use it too often. It's just mostly a fancy parka is what it is. Yeah, uh-huh.
But how much muskrat does it
take to make that? Mine must be cook about 40, near 40 anyway.
When did she make that?
She made that 7-8 years ago.
Did both of you go out and get the muskrat?
No. We've been getting little at the time. We just click enough for one parka. Yeah, it's a lot of work to tan it and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kinds of other clothes were different or the same as that footwear that the boys use now and what you use differently?
Right now they're using mukluks, but they use felt socks, felt liner, and also yarn and knitted socks. And I used to use a mukluks, but I use a fur socks inside the mukluks. Cherubu. Yeah, it's warmer, but you have to watch it pretty close. If your feet sweat, your feet can get cold right away too.
So that might be too
long. Uh huh. Yeah, for walking it'll be. For riding, it'll be good. Riding on a snow machine, it'll be good.
So those caribou, use the caribou liners, and what else? Did you have knit socks
too then? Yeah, uh-huh, yes, socks.
Were those kind of things hard to get in
there,
like caribou liners?
No, they used to. Well, my grandmother used to save them for years, you know, whenever she'd seen it. Things they want to use, and she just collect them and save them.
Was there much caribou around here?
Oh, at those days, there weren't much, but just like, 5-6 years ago, there were a lot of caribou around. Now this is going to be the third winter, wouldn't have any. No caribou for, this is going to be the third winter now.
Why do you think that is? Because no caribou, what happened to you?
Well, really, I don't know. They must be going different area or something. Because I heard there's a lot of caribou over Shumnak and the Angler places. So they must start going different area.
Are there any kinds of things that old people would say when a certain animal isn't around or when there's a lot of them? Does that mean anything? Do they have reasons why that would happen?
No. No, I... No, that never was.
Well, I'm wondering a little more about the hunting times that you've gone hunting. Well, it's like the caribou. Have you done much caribou hunting?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When did you do that? Would you go by yourself, or would it be a lot of people go out together?
There's times I went out by myself, and there's a lot of times we go out, and there's a whole bunch of us go out. It's like over Hog River Flats, we used to go over there with dog team on caribou. Like, oh, it could be six or seven teams. It was over there. There was a lot of fun traveling. All of us traveling together. Camping. That was the when we used to have the dogs, and after that with snow machine, I thought I can go over there. If there's a trail, I thought I can go over there in one day and come back the same day.
How far is it?
It's the flat is about to Joe's cabin is about 40 miles by trail.
So what would that be like when you go hunting? Would all of you, would each of you get one, or would you all take the same amount back? How did you decide who?
Well, the most we can haul with a dog team is about 2 caribou each.
Mm-hmm.
So
is that all?
It's all cut up. And when a whole bunch of us go out those days, we make sure we all come back with same amount. We hunt until we get enough. And we hit it home.
Do your friends ever ask you about caribou hunting? Ever talk about that?
No, right now when we had caribou, it's like 3 years ago, it was all snow machine then. So they go out and hunt caribou. But that's all by machine, so it's different than how we used to do it.
Mm-hmm. How is it different?
Well, the dog team is a lot slower. It's like if you start going over Hog River Flat, and there's no trail. It'll take us 2 days to go over there, and with the load, we have to come back 2 days to, even there's a trail. So we can't go too far when we're hauling a load with dogs. Just gotta go so many miles a day.
Would the way you'd have to be different? Did you walk more when you had dogs?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yes, we have to. Some dogs, when they see animals, they can go really wild. They're still rough. So as soon as we come to a fresh track, we have to park our dogs, tie them up, and walk.
Would you have to walk a long way sometimes?
Oh, there's times we have to walk a long ways. There's times we don't have to walk more than a couple of miles.
Mm-hmm.
But there's times we used to walk more further than that.
Would you try and be quiet that time while you're walking?
Uh-huh,
that?
Yeah.
So that's different than some machines.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, when we're walking, we have to go by wind too. We can't let the wind go towards the animal. We have to I watched that pretty close.
Maybe she do have to think about when to be quiet or anything.
Well, with snow machine, it's like if there's caribou in one flat or one area, if the wind is different, we can just drive right around. That's a lot easier than walking around the lake to come to the animal with the right wind, you know.
Does that noise bother the animals?
When it's cold. When it's cold, it spooks the animal. As long as it's warm or windy, the caribou can hear the snow machine, it wouldn't bother it. But when it's cold, well, the machine make louder noise when it's cold. So that way, it's a lot harder to hunt caribou when it's cold, to step walking the same way. The noise grew further when it's cold.
So when you're hunting with the machine, do you just drive real close then to them and hunt usually?
Yeah, it's in the shooting range. You just go that far and start shooting.
Does anybody ever shoot right from there?
Oh, maybe some boys do. Probably, but me, I always jump off. That's the only way I can get a good aim is on the ground.
Well, do you think that the snow machine has changed people's life very much?
Yeah. It's too easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like it's a too easy of to go with it, you know. It's like for trapping. It's like my boys want to use my snow machine and I wouldn't let them use it because they have to learn how it is to walk on trap lines. They have to learn all that. And if I let them use the snow machine, they can they'll mostly wreck the machine. Is what they want to do because they'll be using it over hills and timbers and everything, so they'll be hard on the machine. So I never let them use it.
Do they talk about wanting to get their own machine?
Yeah, Norman had his own. He had two of his own before. But they don't seem to last too long with him. So this year he don't have any machine. Well, he asked me for this one. I told him I can haul their gear to a camp. Whatever I can haul for them, I can haul them to a camp. So he asked me if he can use dogs. I told him, go ahead, you can use half of the team. So it worked pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's really learning to take care of himself?
Yeah, he's doing okay.
Do they ever think Portland happens they couldn't get gas or oil for the snow machines? What do they have to do?
Well, if they got no gas for a snow machine, that snow machine have to be at home, have to be in camp or wherever it's run out of gas. That's with a dog team, as long as they get a food for them, they always can go.
Mm-hmm. Did you do fishing this summer?
Yeah.
How did you fish?
No, we didn't put away too much fish this summer. We got quite a bit of salmon, quite a bit of dry fish, but the fall shining we didn't put away like we used to. And I'm going to put in a fish trap pretty soon. I ordered screen and they didn't have the kind of screen I wanted. They got a little different, so I reordered that again. So whenever I get my screen, I'm going to put in a fish trap under the ice.
Yeah, we were hoping that you and Joe were working on that. But everybody says, "Daddy, Joe and Henry, you want to keep making this?"
Up Alec Hackett, Henry William always put in a fish trap. Mm-hmm. I don't know about this fall, but he always put in a fish trap.
So what kind of wire do you use for that fish trap?
Well, the kind I used before is a 1-inch mess. And they don't have that.
That square?
Yeah. And right, they got 2-inch mess, so I'm going to have to use that. Well, the small fish, just like grayling and things like that, can go through it. But it's better than that. Better than nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to use the willow slack. They used it a long time ago. Long time ago, they used to use the willows to make a fence, to make the lead. And that take a lot of willows.
So, what do you use to make the lead now?
Well, I use the wire, the chicken wire to make, put in the lead.
What's the trap itself made out of?
I make a funnel out of spruce tree. I split them up fine. I make a funnel out of it, and the fish trap where the lead from the beach entered the lead, and I made lead downstream to where the two lead comes together. I make a box for that place. Box with the funnel on it.
How big is that?
The box? Mm-hmm. Well, I make it anywhere from 4 feet wide and about 7 or 8 foot long. And I put it where it's about 5 to 6 foot of water.
So there's like this big box and then the funnel is in the middle of it, the small end of the funnel?
Yeah, the funnel is.
Maybe, could you draw a picture if I...
Yeah, okay, I can.
I think I have some paper here. Yeah, I have some paper.
Oh, you got paper, yeah.
Yeah, I got a little pencil here. Ah, we'll make the beach, huh? There's the river. And we usually put it on the upper end of the riffle, where the riffle start speeding down. It's like there's a riffle right here. The water is really swift. And up this way, it'll be kind of dead water. That one right here, the water starts flowing faster. That's where they put the fence in. Because when the fish come up this riffle, swift water, and see this fence, and just, well, the fish know it's going to be dead water from here on up, and just, the fish didn't want to turn around. So it's just not that far out. Anyway, gradually turn up. Make a quicker turn closer to the box right here.
About how long is this lead?
Well, it could be 75 to 100 feet from the bar. All depends what kind of slope the bar is. Mm-hmm. If the bar is flat, it could be 150 feet out. So that's the downstream lead there. Could be about 50 foot down. And that's where I put the box in right here. With the funnel right here. So the fish hit this fence and it's just coming up, just went through the riffle, hit the fence and start falling it out. And get out here, this fence is down this way too, so this one way go through. If this fence is too short, a fish can go around it. Like if it's about, the fence is about 20 feet. And when the fish hits this lead, it can see this around this other one. So just go back out around. But if it's long enough, just go on up through the box. And we use gaff to fish it through there.
So that box is made out of wood?
Yeah, I use boards on the sides. Mm-hmm. And at the upper end, I use a screen, chicken wire, so the stream will flow right on through it.
Uh-huh.
If I use regular boards in the end too, it'll be dead water inside. And I don't think the fish will want to go in there then. But as long as the water is flowing right through, it can just go right in through the funnel.
Mm-hmm. And how do you anchor that box? How do you get that box to stay down?
It frees to the ice.
Uh-huh.
Frees to the ice on the sides, and that holds in place.
Uh-huh.
But before it frees, I always put a weight on it to hold it down until it frees to the ice. And
mm-hmm. So what, you put like a big log or something? Like
yeah, poles and ice, chunk of ice, I weight it down.
Oh.
And after it frees, we just chop this open every time we check it.
Huh. How do you put that, your lead in? That's a long lead.
Yeah, we use poles, maybe 2 feet or 30 inch somewhere or not, the poles maybe so far all the way out. And we use small poles, it's like what, inch diameter on the chicken wire itself. We nail that poles onto the chicken wire, the small poles. That way the small poles hold that wire right to the bottom even. It don't lift up.
So what do? You chop the ice all the whole way?
Yeah,
just slip it in?
Just about 1.5 feet wide.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. We use chainsaw though. Mm-hmm. It's easy. Yeah, it's not that long time ago. We used to use axe and ice pick all the way out.
Oh,
all, yeah. But right now it's easier.
Mm.
We use power saw.
So you said you use gaff to get the fish
out? Yeah.
So that box is just full of it?
Yes. Sometimes it gets full. Some years we used to do good to check, or fall of 75. We put in one down 3 mile. And we check that box every 3 to 4 days, and we used to get 300-400 fish out of it every time. Last year we had one down 9 mile. We didn't do too good with it, but at least we eat good out of it though.
Well, this, even that funnel you said is out of spruce that you split?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Small pieces?
Yeah.
Well, how does that look? Like, do you nail it in or does it close like that?
Does
that work?
I made it about 16 inch wide and about 24 inch high, and it's something like that. Something like that. It's just a funnel. And right here could be about 4.5 to 5 inches round. The smallest place.
So what do you just bend those, or is the whole shape like, is it round like that? Or?
Yeah, I use the split ones I put about an inch apart all the way around. I make a ring out of the spruce tree, split spruce tree, just keep on going around, just round and round until just to hold everything together.
So how did you learn how to make that?
Well, I learned from my grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were they making out willow that time?
Yeah, the lead is all out of willow that time.
Funnel is the same thing.
Uh-huh, yeah, same material, yeah.
How do you bind that together? Like where you make that go around?
Oh, I use a twine.
Mm-hmm.
I use twine or string or whatever I can use.
Is that the same thing that you used to use?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Do you think that's a better way of doing it than with a net?
Pardon?
People get lashed with hooks. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I guess you don't have to get the blackfish or anything.
Blackfish, they live in lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when people use hooks, they have to use blackfish or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for bait, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So you don't, your bait goes right through it, is that it? That's why you want the 1 inch?
Yeah.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
So, do any of your children help you do this?
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. As soon as these boys come back and trap line, we'll work on this. Mm. When we're going to put in.
Do you like flesh?
Yeah. Last year, it took us 2.5 days to put in fish trap, but I had a lot of help, too. All the boys helped me. There were about nine or ten of us working on it, so that was fast. And we drive all the way down 9 miles to, some people drive dogs and some use snow machine. And if it's right across here, it'll be a lot easier. Yeah.
But there's no good places across here, is that
why? Yeah, right now, down 3 miles where we used to do good, 4 years ago, it's rough ice there. We have to pick where there's smooth ice.
Mm-hmm.
So across here, on this riffle, that's about the best ice there is. I'm down 8 miles, but I don't want to go that far down, as long as there's a good place across here. It's, mm-hmm. I can work on this place over here.
Mm-hmm. Well, so on a good day, when you go check, well, how often do you check that box?
Well, when it's good run, when there's a lot of lots, every 2 nights, you can check it. But if not, we do it about 3 or 4 days.
A lot of people might ask me that, people ever ask you about that? How do you make this track? Or do they know you're making track?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, when there's 9 people working on it at one time last year, what's everybody doing?
Well, some people use 2 chainsaws. And some use shovel, and some working on the screen. and the poles. Uh-huh, shovel the ice off, the loose ice. And the ice was about, 16 inch thick. Or better. Some places better than that last year when we were cutting ice.
When were you doing that last year?
It was in the first week in December we put it in. We started on it. And this year I was going to put it, start earlier, but I couldn't get my screen on time. I didn't order it soon enough.
Where do you have to order that?
I used to order it from Fairbanks Lumber. And there's times I used to order it from Samson's Hardware too. But this time I get it through Nenana Air. Mm-hmm. Last year I did the same thing too. I got it through Nenana Air.
This summer, when you were fishing, where did you fish at?
We had our fishing downstream for the salmon, during the salmon run.
Yeah, how far?
4 miles.
You have your own fish camp there?
No, we just use we just make 1 day trip from here down, every day. We had the smokehouse under the bank down here.
Is that different fishing right out in town than when you used to stay at fish camp?
Yeah, staying in camp is a lot easier. You don't have to go as far then. But right now we can't stay in camp because she's working, you know, she's health aide and take care of her job every day. And she don't put in a full day and the fish too, just she has to do her job. But there's people like Billy Williams' family, they were out, they moved on fish camp, just stayed there, and they put away a lot of fish, a lot of salmon.
Were they the only ones who went to fish camp? Mm-hmm.
Lester Sam's family was in camp too. He did pretty good too. Bill William, I think he put away 4,000 salmon last summer. No, fishing.
Does anybody here know
the fish here? No, we couldn't use it up here because our water up here is too clear.
Too clear?
Uh-huh.
Why is it being clear? Oh, they can see it?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yes, salmon can see it in the clear water. If the water is muddy like Yukon, we could use wheels up here too.
So, did you have one net out?
No, there's times we use four nets.
This last summer
too? Uh-huh, yeah.
That can be a long
work, huh? Yeah, sometimes, like 74 and 75, we pick up a lot of salmon from that 4 mile down there.
But how much? When you have a good day, how much salmon would you get in one net?
75. We use two nets. We check it two times a day when we were cutting a little over 300 fish a day, 300 salmon. But last summer we were catching 50 or 60 a day, that's about all. This last summer we used four for a while. We used two, about the longest, two mostly. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Well, the nets that you have, is that all already? Is it pretty hung?
Yes, he ordered from Donaldson in Anchorage.
Well, when was the last time you stayed in fish camp?
'60s. 60, 8, I think. The last time I stayed in camp.
Was that after that was the time that started working?
Yeah, Yes, you start getting paid in 69.
Mm-hmm. Was that for health
care? Yeah.
So, for your dog food, you use the fish that you get summertime and singing too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's it like when you go singing here? What do you do?
Well, we have a singing net and we go up and down river where there's good places, eddies, and that's where we make a sweep. But last fall we didn't get too much. Last year Sam and Alfred after did it pretty good in singing.
Mm-hmm. What kind of fish are they doing?
It's a white fish. Some are small, it's all sizes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what makes
it different from the fish? I guess there weren't just that many fish around. Not like it used to.
Hmm. I wonder what happened, because I heard a lot of fish in the Yukon.
Yeah, a lot of salmons. Yeah. But there's only so many salmons come up this little river. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun seining. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Is that more fun than other kinds of fishing?
Yeah, yeah, it's more fun. When the weather is good, there's times it's windy too, it's a lot harder to be seining in windy days. When it's a good day, it's a lot of fun. When fella catching fish, it's fun. When he's not doing any good, it's a lot of work.
Somebody running a boat and somebody on the truck?
Yeah. It usually take 4 to make a crew.
Well, what would each person be doing?
2 could be on shore. It's a lot easier with 2 or 3 on the shore. And when it's only one person on the shore, and it's a lot harder.
Mm-hmm. So what would those 2 people do on the shore?
They help pulling the net in. That's where it's hard.
So they're hanging on to that net.
Yeah. We use a long rope on the beach side, about 100 foot. We use another long one on the boat side too. And we use a kicker to bring it in slow.
Which place do you like to be?
Well, it doesn't matter. But I always wind up in a boat with the boys on the beach.
The guy in the boat has to know what he's doing.
Yeah, Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you have to make a certain kind of sweep. It all depends what kind of a place you're making a sweep. If you're making a sweep on a bar where there's current, it's a different again. And it's where there's eddy and dead water, you just have to make a quick loop and bring it in. And on the bar where there's little current, you can drift with it. Just make a halfway loop with the net and drift for a while. That could be 200-300 feet and bring it in.
What's the most fish you ever caught?
Well, I didn't do much last fall, but this year, three, four falls, we did pretty good. And boatload.
What's it like to pull a net in that load?
It's hard. It's hard, hard to bring it in. Yeah, that's where it's a. The more help, it's better.
You ever have a problem bringing the net in?
Yeah, there's times. There's times we lose a lot of the fish when we can't bring it in fast enough. We'll eat a lot of it.
What are the fish doing?
There's times they just go over the net, and times they go under the net too.
Flapping all around?
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, when it's like, 600, 700, there's little whitefish start fighting. Yeah. That's a lot of work to hold back, you know. When you bring it in slow, you can work for a little while and they get out of wind. They slack off then. And you can really pull the net in good against the beach.
You have to kind of feel the distance.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
What's that make you feel like when you're pulling in a net like that?
Well, that's fun. It's fun to pull it in like that. Well, there's a lot of times last fall I pull a net with half a tub.